Well, that was just good. Find your Bibles. One of the most repeated phrases in the Bible is, "The Lord is my." And then that phrase is completed in a variety of different ways. For example, "The Lord is my salvation." "The Lord is my shepherd." Over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at both those declarations. This morning, we're going to look at "The Lord is my strength." God tells us in Scripture that we have a supernatural strength available to us. You know, if we pause for just a moment and think about that declaration, as we think about that realization, that's pretty awesome. That we have available to us a supernatural strength is something we really ought to dwell upon more than we do. What do we think of when we think about strength? I mean, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? I think with a lot of us, it's physical strength. That's probably normal. Now, we're not talking about courage this morning. We're talking about strength. David Little was known as a man of physical strength. Former linebacker of the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a glowing career with them. Played for 12 seasons, started 125 games out of 189. Just a magnificent, voted to the Pro Bowl, magnificent man of strength. How could he have known, with all that physical strength, that he had an enlarged heart? On March 17th, 2005, while bench pressing 250 pounds, he had a heart arrhythmia, dropped the bar that held 250 pounds of free weights on his chest. It rolled down onto his throat, and David strangled to death. Physical strength is fleeting. It's not dependable. That's not what we're talking about here this morning. We're not talking about physical strength. It's not what we need. Maybe one of the things we think about is mental strength. When Hurricane Gustav was bearing down on the New Orleans shoreline in fall of 2008, city officials ordered residents to evacuate. One lady named Hattie, who made national news, said she was not going to evacuate, that she was well prepared for anything the hurricane would bring. She told reporters this, and I quote, "I've got liquor, cash, food, ammo, and weed. What else do I need?" Well, Hattie, you need a little bit of sense. That's what you need. You need a little bit of sense. You need a little bit of mental strength. But we're not talking about mental strength this morning either. Obviously, we're not talking about any of those. What we're talking about here this morning is soul strength, strength of character, strength of heart, if you will. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 28. Should have announced that first. Psalm chapter 28, David says this beginning in verse 6. "May the Lord be praised, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart rejoices, and I praise him with my song. The Lord is the strength of his people." So David says, "The Lord is my strength." Here's what we have to grasp. If the Lord was David's strength, then the Lord is also our strength. So let's listen this morning with attentive ears as we consider what exactly it is that that means. Here's one thing it means. The Lord is my outer strength. What I mean by that is this is a strength that comes from outside ourselves. We do not, in and of ourselves, possess strength anything like this, nor can we. This strength is not one of our natural characteristics. This strength is not a trait handed down to us from our parents. This is not a strength that's inherited through DNA. This is not a strength that is learned or developed. This is not a strength that is the result of experience or training or practice or ingenuity. We do not in any way own, control, manage, or dispense this strength. This passage does not describe anything that is in any way contained by humanity, nor can it ever be. Because it's not human in origin or ownership, it is best described as supernatural strength or outside the realm of nature. It's illogical, indescribable, unexplainable. The strength David's talking about in our passage is a gift. It's under the sole authority and control of the giver. It's given to whomever the giver desires and is withheld from all others. No matter how much this strength is coveted or pursued, it can only be had through humility, not demand. Through faithful obedience and not superficial piety. Since this is a strength that originates outside ourselves, it's only as consistent and dependable as the giver. And the good news is this giver is compassionate and dependable. This giver is consistent and reliable. We can always count on this strength being available to us. You ever totally depend on anyone else? Sure you have. Of course you have. It's part of the human experience, although rare, to completely depend on someone else. We just have to choose to do so. We just have to flip a mental switch and choose to do so. Linda had surgery a couple of weeks ago. She had a cyst on her wrist. What was it called? Remember? Okay. Ganglion. Thank you, Daniel. A ganglion cyst. It used to be called a Bible cyst because in old days they would take the big family Bible, you know, that weighed 200 pounds, and they would just smash it with the Bible. We didn't have one that big, so we had to go to the doctor. And they had to operate. So Linda was just about as nervous about the anesthesia as she was the surgery itself. The anesthesiologist came in and she said, "Can't we just do a local?" And he said, "No, ma'am, I'm sorry. The roots in this thing have wrapped themselves around your hand bone. So we've got to go in there and cut it out. Have to put you out." So he left. The surgeon came in, explained all that process to her, and he left. And Linda said, "You know what? I'm just going to choose to trust these guys. I'm going to make a choice to depend on them." Sure. I mean, you've done that. You've done the same thing, right? You make a choice to depend upon them. The anesthesiologist put her totally out. Her life was in his hands. He proved himself to be dependable because he brought her back to life, or however you designate that. The surgeon completely removed this cyst and all of its roots from her hand. She couldn't do it herself. She would let me try. I probably could have done it, but she completely depended upon this surgeon, and he proved himself dependable. He completely removed that ganglion cyst from her wrist. Here's my point. There come times in our lives when we realize we're out of control. We don't have any ability. We're totally without ability. And so during those times, it's helpful if we flip the switch, or however you want to designate this, we choose to trust God and just rest. This is the strength we're talking about this morning that comes from outside of us. It's nothing we can muster up from within. God has it. God's proven himself dependable. I'm going to choose to trust him and just rest. Just rest. Here's another thing. My Lord is my inner strength. Look back there at the passage with me in verse 7. David does not say, be strong in the Lord. Although the Bible does say that in other places, like Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, we looked at this a few weeks ago. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the idea there is that because we have a great confidence in the Lord, and because we know he's always going to be there, we can stiffen our backs and set our jaw and just be strong. God challenges us, be strong. Okay, God, because I trust you, I'm going to just be strong. But that's not what he says here. And David does not say the Lord will give strength, although the Bible does say that in other places. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29, this familiar passage. He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youths may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. The idea there is that to the one who is weak, God will give strength to them. That's a beautiful, encouraging truth. But again, that's not what he says here. What David does say is the Lord is my strength. You see that in verse 7 and 8, if you have your Bibles open? The Lord is my strength. It's important to hear the distinction. He doesn't just challenge us to be strong or even give us strength. The Lord actually becomes strength in me. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. I am, contrary to the image some of you may have of me, I'm not a bad handyman. I've done a lot of stuff around my house. I built a patio. I should have brought pictures. I should have put this stuff up on the screen. And it's not a lean-to either. It's a pretty substantial patio. I built a tool shed. I built a large section of fence with a gate that works. I laid stone all around our patio up by the house. I planted 10,000 trees and 100,000 bushes. I mean, we've been in our house for 25 years. I have a pair of gloves, and I should have brought those too. I have a pair of gloves, really worn out. Really worn out gloves. Mud all over them, cuts all over them. They are a mess. Those gloves have touched almost every project outside in our house. Now, I'm sure if those gloves had a personality, they'd be thinking, man, all the stuff I've done. But I just want to say to you, those gloves hadn't done anything. It's been my hands in those gloves that's done the work. Pretty strong hand, by the way. in those gloves. Pretty skilled hand inside those gloves. Pretty successful hand inside those gloves. I'm just saying to you, the gloves have been there, and they've been a part of it, and they've touched it, and they carry the scars from it, but it's been my hand in those gloves that's done the work. You tracking with me? You've been exposed to a lot of stuff in your life, and you look back on those things in your life, and you think, boy, I've done a lot. No. Hadn't been you. It's been God in you. It's been God's Spirit in you that's done that work. You're nothing but the glove. You're just the glove. Lord, you are my strength. Inside me, you've not just challenged me to be strong, although you do in other places. You've not just given me strength, although in other places you say you're going to do that. You are strength in me. I'm the glove. You are the strength. You agree with this? Let's look at this last thing. The Lord is my acquired strength. Let's give some attention to how David says he acquired God as his strength. Let's list these. God's strength is acquired through pleading. Verse 6. May the Lord be praised, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. So the kind of inborn strength we're talking about here this morning comes only from this deep, abiding walk with the Lord. This deep, heart-bound relationship with the Lord. Pleading describes a sense of desperation in a person's heart. A desperation that only the presence of the Lord can satisfy. Author and pastor Sinclair Ferguson writes this: the first physician to die of the AIDS virus in the United Kingdom was a young Christ follower. He'd contracted it while doing medical research in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. In the last days of his life, his power of communication failed. He struggled with increasing difficulty to express his thoughts to his wife. On one occasion, she simply could not understand the message. He wrote on a notepad the letter J. She ran through her medical dictionary, saying various words beginning with J. None was right. Then she said, Jesus? That was the right word. Jesus was with them. Jesus was all either of them needed to know. Their need was great. Jesus was greater. Do you understand pleading? Does that communicate? This humble, broken, crying out to God, you're what I need. There's nothing, David says. God's strength is acquired through trusting. You know, I talked a while ago about Linda and her doctors and how she decided to trust them. Choose to trust them, is what I said. She chose to trust them. There's this sense, not only in this kind of experience, but many kind of experiences in life, where there's a turmoil that exists in our heart and our soul as we struggle over the choice. Should I not? Should I not? But there's a peace that comes upon us when we make the choice. just by making the choice. Even if it's a wrong choice, there's a peace that comes by just making the choice. A peace quieted Linda's heart when she just chose to trust those physicians. There's a peace and a strength that comes over our hearts when we stop the back and forth, the yin and the yang, and just flip the switch and choose to trust God. There's a peace that descends upon our heart. There's a strength that descends upon our heart just from choosing to trust Him. Some of us here today are still involved in the back and forth, the back and forth. Should I not? Can I not? Will I not? Is He worthy? Is He not? Choose to trust Him. Choose to trust Him. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. And the third thing I would say is God's strength is acquired through belonging. Verse 8 and 9 is just full of this. The Lord is the strength of His people, not all people. He's the strength of His people. He is a stronghold of salvation for His anointed, not all people, but His anointed. Here's a prayer. Save your people, bless your possessions, shepherd them, carry them forever. Carry them forever. You remember the old song? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in His fountain, cleansed in His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as I travel this side because I'm part of the family. The family of God. When we choose to put our trust in God, yes, we turn and trust and follow Jesus, there's this cleansing of our sin, saving us, moving into us the Holy Spirit. But that's the beginning of the faith walk. That's not the end. That's the beginning of the faith walk. So as we go through life, as we face the issues of life, as we face the struggles of life, there's also this choosing to trust Him for this issue. You know, the thought occurs to me that sometimes as we go through the struggles of life, I've said it and I've heard you say it too, you know, I'm not as strong as God thinks I am. You know? I can't do this. I can't carry this. This is more of a load than I can carry. Where is God in the midst of all this? Where is God? You know, there's a lot of theology at HEB. If you look. So Linda had sent me for some stuff, and I'd got it and gone out to my truck, and I was putting my stuff in the truck, and here comes this man with his son. This man must have been 6'5". He was just a gorilla of a guy. He was just huge. Little sidebar here. Men are always faced with this choice when they go to the grocery store and they bought their products as they're leaving the store. We have to decide, are we going to take this cart all the way out to the car, or are we going to carry everything? You know? And we're convinced, no matter what it is, we can carry all of it in our hands. We don't need to kick that cart. So here's this big guy, and he's carrying most of the stuff in his hands, and he was physically able to do it. But he's got this boy behind him. I don't know how old he was. I'm sure he was younger than his size because his dad was 6'5". This kid was much larger than his age, I'm sure, but his dad had given him two of these bags to carry. So he's walking behind his dad. He's crying, "Dad, I can't carry these anymore. This is too heavy for me." He was remembering when he was little. Now the kid was almost big as me. "Dad, I can't carry these anymore. This is too heavy for me." And I'm thinking, you could carry me on your shoulders, little guy. So as they approached the car, which is right next to my truck, my eyes caught the eyes of this dad, and I winked at him, and he rolled his eyes and went, that boy was bigger than he thought he was. That boy was stronger than he thought he was. It may have been a time when he couldn't carry that load, but I'm telling you what, he'd grown, and he was big enough to carry it. Look at me, listen to me. There may have been a time when you couldn't have carried that load, but you've grown. You're stronger now. God knows you are. God sees how you've grown. God knows how you've developed. You've got a load on your shoulders, and you're saying, I can't carry this, and God's saying, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. I'm a big God. You've got my DNA in you. You've got my DNA in you. You belong to me. You're in my family. I'm not 6 foot five. I'm 100 foot tall. You're my kid. You've got my DNA in you. You can carry whatever I put on your shoulders. Stop whining. You belong to me. You're mine. I'm not going to put more on you than you can carry, because you can carry more than you think you can. You're mine. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, washed in the fountain, cleansed by the blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm a part of the family of God. And I am strong. And you know what? So are you.